Location, Hamshow Kwok Deep Space Tracking Facility. Date, August 16th, 2519. Technical Sergeant Timothy Simpson of the Enlisted Man's Air Force looked at his monitor and saw an unidentified spaceship.
Lieutenant, I have a reading on a ship within our solar system.
Ours?
Nothing on record, sir.
Have you tried to contact her?
She's not responding.
Distance?
460 million miles from Earth.
Is she hiding behind Jupiter?
She's out in the open, sir. That's her right there.
The screen showed a nondescript dot representing the ship, located in an area 200 million miles from the nearest planet, which happened to be Mars.
Is she moving?
Drifting, sir. No sign of acceleration.
Odd place to park a ship. Are you certain she's not a wreck from the war?
No, sir. She's new.
What are you telling me, T.S., that you just broadcast it in?
I don't have any record of a broadcast, sir. But she's just appeared on my radar.
That would make her... If that's an explorer, we'd better send somebody to have a look.
Lieutenant Walter J. Aspen, the officer on duty at the Hamshow Kwok Deep Space Tracking Facility, would die in 5 days. Technical Sergeant Timothy Simpson, the tracking systems technician who discovered Magellan, UAES 539, outlived him by 3 hours. Like the staff of Hamshow Kwok, the crew of EMN Millard Fillmore was made up of clones. Every last man stood 5 feet 10 inches tall. Every sailor on the ship had brown hair and brown eyes. Not a one of them knew he was a clone. They all knew all of the other sailors aboard the ship were clones, but their neural programming didn't allow them to consider that they might be clones as well. That programming included protocols that caused them to see themselves as having blonde hair and blue eyes when they saw their reflections. The clones believed their own eyes, even though they knew clones' eyes lied to them. Fillmore was a Perseus-class destroyer, a wedge-shaped warship that was wider than she was long. She'd been circling Mars. Not orbiting, circling outside the planet's gravitational influence. It took her 8 hours to fly to the location of the mystery ship. As his ship drifted closer to the target, Captain J.T. Matthews, commanding officer of Fillmore, examined the ship on a three-dimensional holographic display. His ship had portholes and observation decks, but visual inspection wouldn't detect details like radiation, heat, toxins, and traps. Matthews searched the ship for signs of violence and structural damage. Then he searched the area for enemy ships. Then he called in his first report to Naval Command.
She's an explorer. So far, we haven't found any signs of damage.
Designed for pangalactic cartography, explorers were century-old self-broadcasting relics from the Unified Authority's early Manifest Destiny period. Matthews didn't wait for Naval Command to reply. Communications with Earth were slow from 400 million miles out. In another half hour, he'd receive a message from Earth instructing him how to proceed. In the meantime, he flew within 100,000 miles of the wreck. Her hull was intact. A remote scan revealed that her navigation systems were working, as was her communications equipment. Despite the fact that everyone inside the Explorer had died, the gravity generator still ran, and life support continued to fill the cabin with warm, breathable oxygen. Still waiting for permission to proceed, Matthews sent a drone to have a closer look. Monitoring the drone's transmission, Matthews spotted the deceased crewman. He didn't even need to X-ray the ship. Magellan had portholes and observation spots on every wall. Directing his drone to peer in the windows, he mapped out the entire ship, locating all 10 bodies. Matthews relayed that information in a message, then began the long wait for further instruction. During that time, his engineers scanned Magellan for biological weapons. They scanned for carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and internal radiation leaks. They checked the internal temperature of the ship. They scanned for broadcast malfunctions. After each test, Matthews sent the results back to Navy Command, then ordered his men to begin looking for some other hazard. Answers from Earth began trickling in. By the time Navy Command ordered Matthews to open the Explorer's hatch, his medical team had already attempted to diagnose the pilot's cause of death by parking a drone outside the windshield and photographing the dead man's face and limbs. Matthews called sickbay and spoke to a medical corpsman, a lieutenant,